Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And on today's podcast, are you ready to explore the crossroads of gaming and investment and trading? So in this episode, I am talking with Harish Karthik, who is the brilliant mind behind CoinFantasy.io. They're billed as the world's premier decentralized investment gaming platform. So CoinFantasy merges the thrill of gaming with the intrigue of trading while making it fun because they have a very unique play to invest model. So today I'm interviewing him and finding out what challenges he has gone through in building this platform, what they have done right to attract over 100,000 active users, and what is their vision and how do they plan to grow through the crypto winter. So if you are curious about how a startup fuses the gaming mechanics with the finance world, or simply keen to learn from a founder's first-hand experience on scaling a venture, this chat is tailor-made for you. Plug in and get inspired by CoinFantasy's tale. Nothing mentioned in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Please do your own research. And I do not run any ads on this podcast. So my only ask is please share this episode on your social media and leave a review for this podcast on whichever platform you are listening on. With that out of the way, let's get into it. So yeah. Harish, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to talk with you. I would love to learn more about CoinFantasy. And I have actually signed up to Coin Fantasy to play the game myself because I like to review anyone that I'm talking with, what they're building. So let's get started with how did you come up with the idea of Coin Fantasy? And for those people who don't know a lot about Coin Fantasy, how do you describe Coin Fantasy to them?
Perfect. Yeah. Thanks, Sam, for having us. I think it's a pleasure to connect with you. Yeah. I think it goes back to my background. So probably I can start with my background.
Sure.
So I started my undergrad in India, started working as a software developer post my graduation as any average Indian. And then I was working across different demographics, across different developing countries. And I observed like a lot of our really find investing as complex. Like if you look at in India, only 3% of the population are actively investing. So you like the rest of the 97% of the people and are still sitting on the sidelines, and majority of the people are museums, you know. And these people are always there, just are being TikTok influencers or like probably YouTube influencers, but they are not exposed to the end-to-end investment journey. So that's when we started. So I did my undergrad in India, right? After I moved to US, so I did my master's in University of Colorado, National Bank. Then, so I started working as a blockchain developer. I joined the blockchain club over there, and I also had the experience of building the app, so I'm a blockchain developer myself. And so that's our starting point, you know. So as someone who's from a developing country who's watched closely the investment space, we felt that there is no kind of a like platform that exposes them to investment, right? But there are kind of paper trading platforms, you know, like Startgrow, but however, like the main pain point is like users not incentivized, right? Or like how in real trading they made actual returns, right? So we wanted to kind of bring the gamification platform at the same time allow users to kind of bring rewards that are kind of, you know, at the same scale of real time trading. So I think that's the starting point. That's where we started. And you know, in the like we're close to out of 1.8 billion, we are billion millennials across developing countries. Only probably around 800 or in ordinary, only 300 million people are in crypto. So you see, like, there is a 4x, 5x growth that is coming to the developing countries as well. And so this number is expected to grow people into putting real money or putting money into investment. Yep. Maybe I answered the question or probably I digress a little bit.
No, sure. No, that's perfect. So yes, so there is a huge population base that are still not investing, and you wanted to introduce them to investing or investing in crypto and start this. So this is precisely what I've done in the past as well. I've started a fantasy trading platform. And so there is a common thing in that people start using these platforms, but they get bored after a while. So how do you keep them engaged? What's your technique so they keep coming back and keep using the platform?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think when we started, I think if you look at our journey, we had a lot of people successful, right? When we started, we were very similar to Dreamland model, where you come and pay entry fee. So yes. Say when it comes to $10, 10 people join, you know?
Yes.
So there's $100 pooled in, and the winners take the 80% part and 20% fee, right, to organize fee. Like, so that was the model we started with. And like I said, another problem is kind of when like most of the people end up on the losing side, there was a big turn of people like, no, who don't come back to the platform. So that's when we realized, okay, that's the problem. So what we did was when people put the entry fee, it is staked in the platform. So you say you put $10, the $10 is staked on the platform. So you get to join the game pool. And you win the reward. And in a way that you will also have an option for you to recoup the amount that you put as entry fee after a certain period of time. So it's kind of you get something like an NFT card or coupon that could be recouped, but there is obviously time duration. The time duration is decided based on, you know, how much liquidity is in the pool, how much, you know, in the reserve pool. So based on different factors, right? That's kind of our algorithm, I'd say. And so based on that, people are able to recoup. So this is an interesting model that we came up. And so people are not losing. They're more able to experience the game and win rewards. At the same time, most of the people don't end up on losing, right? So that's how like we had pivoted to our beta version of the game. So I think that's one pain point of most of the paper trading or the fantasy game platform, right? And second pain point, if you look at also, like I said, the problem with some of the fantasy finance platforms, right? They select a virtual portfolio, but they don't actually win any reward, right? And also what happens is that these users are not put on any kind of journey, right? Where they are leveling up in the platform or when they are unlocking more rewards. I think the virtual trading is just one aspect to it, but there are more layers that need to be added so that users are coming back to the platform or users are hooked to the platform, right? So there is no kind of a dopamine, right? As a gamer, that's important, right? Because like when you get a play game, there should be some reason for you to come back. It could be like competing with your friends. I think if you look at Fantasy Premier League, you come back because you want to compete with your friends more than knowing about players, etc. So there's, you know, different aspects that are missing. And I think that is a big problem in the current fantasy and platform, the current fantasy types as well.
Oh, that's very cool. If I'm not mistaken, they get rewarded in coin fantasy tokens, right? If they win tournaments or win things.
Yeah, just to add on to it. So we are in the phase one of our kind of roadmap where we are building the community. So currently we have close to 300K users in terms of unique active wallets. Probably we are among top 20 Web3 gaming platforms across the globe. So what we're trying to do is build those community of ambassadors, right? Right now we have more than 62K token holders on the platform who are 150 on the reward, on the wallet, sorry. So in a way, these are the ambassadors that we are trying to build in phase two, where, like right now, you're right, people are just winning the game rewards on the wallet. On the phase two, that we want to enable real investment. And that's the layer where kind of people will win real trading rewards. When I say real investment, and money put into the game. It is not like you'll be buying that thought. It'll be still a virtual trading game, but we'll be able to make a real reward. Yeah.
So I know this is getting a bit technical, but do you get into trouble with it going into with real rewards, it getting into the gambling territory? Because if people get financial reward from it, so how do you avoid that?
I'm feeling more into gambling. It's still a game of skill. I think gambling is a lot of game of luck is involved. But still, this game was still a game where you need to understand some technical indicators. You need to understand aspects of the token before kind of selecting a portfolio. So the beauty is it's not like a finite game where you select up or down, right? But here it is a game that runs for 4 hours, like around 2 hours. And based on the performance of the portfolio that you have selected over the time, like you get points, and based on that you are put on a leaderboard and the reward for distributed, right? That's the kind of game. And also your portfolio is selected, say, maybe at 5 tokens, right? If the per token kind of perform 5%, you put $50, you get 5% of $50 as well. And obviously we also charge a fee on the back end. So it's a system that we are trying to create, a dynamic system based on which users are able to win rewards. At the same time, it matches up to the fee that we collect across the platform. So there's a layer on top of your game, but it's still the game. If you still want to play the game, you would still have the game, but you'll have an option to put in real money to get the real reward. But it will be still a kind of a game with the fantasy theme into mind, like it's not into gambling or any kind of a game of club games.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good, because we had to go through all these questions around the user acquisition side. Mm-hmm. How did you acquire your first 100 users? Because this is a question a lot of other founders would want to know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, actually, it's a great question, right? I think if you are able to bring that first 1,000 users, you have the confidence to scale to next 100,000 users. So, you know, when we started, like what we felt was, the initial version of the platform would obviously come with a lot of fuel changes that need to be done before it goes to the market, right? The first 1,000 users, like just through referral, through friends, through family, you know. So we wanted users to try out, and we wanted to bug as possible, fix as much, get as much of feedback as possible. So based on which we were able to make a lot of changes that helped us to scale to the next 100,000 users, right? So it was primarily a standard referral program where users are incentivized to bring in and through the network we had. And also the other co-founder, you know, Ganesh Ram, he is a brother. So we are brothers technically. So he actually, he has found something like a Fantasy League 365 back in 2017, 2018. So he, 2016 to 2017, he ran a platform. So he had that background of running a fantasy game, and he had the network. So through his network, we were able to bring in the initial set of users to try out and incentivize them. So,
Well, that's fantastic. And you did a round of funding as well. What did you think you guys did right when you raised your first round of funding?
I think that's an interesting question, right? When we started, we had not raised funds before. This is the first time raising. So there were a lot of we understood in terms of the process on how the funding works, what exactly investors look for, what is that problem statement that kind of will be enticing for an investor. Those are things that we have learned, and we are in a great market as well. We do our, I'd say, like a bull market at the time. So the funding was a little bit easier right now. So we were able to raise through the network that we have. And the first round, also like a lot of angels that participated, mostly founders of other crypto platforms from India, Dubai, etc. So they were very confident of kind of solution that could be a great game changer, especially in India. So so that was the initial round that we did through the network, and it was a great environment. But I think if you have to give something, an advice, like, or like some kind of feedback, that like to keep the pitch very simple. I think a lot of people, what they do is to add the buzzwords, come up with a narrative, like, or come up with a lot of keywords and make it complicated. But I feel great VCs are just looking for simple solutions. They want us to explain everything probably in a 2 lines. We are able to do it. That's easy to convey than speaking for 20 minutes to trying to explain the concept.
That's very true. So no, that's very cool. What's your biggest challenge currently?
I think there are, I think, a couple of challenges. So if you look, another question in terms of user acquisition. Right now, one user acquisition challenge that I constantly work for is university marketing. So you were talking about the fantasy dog game. I think every management institute has this kind of a game in their finance club, finance classes, you know, where all the finance students kind of pool in and they select a list of stocks, right? So that's why it was easy for us to go to these universities and explain, hey, why don't you do this game on chain, right? So we also end up come up with synergy with the club. So that was the channel that we worked, and so that was working now. So we are trying to now, I think, since we have some India, we started with marketing in India. Now we want to expand Apple, right? Right now we want to cover other developing countries across Asia, in America, and also South America, because this is where we are going to see an exponential growth, probably a 5x growth in terms of the entire economy, right? So we see a lot of people now have going to have the spending power to invest as well. So that's where, and also we feel the next 1 billion users are going to come from these countries as well. And we want to see the, So I feel like the talent now is trying to scale to the other developing countries. So we have now come with a framework that has worked for us in India. Now we're going to try to adapt to other countries, and now probably that's going to be learning all the way. And through that, we're going to see how it's going to work.
No, that is very true. And I have quite an extensive network in the whole gaming sector because I've worked in esports, I've worked in, in gaming DAOs and stuff, or been part of different gaming DAOs or guilds and all this stuff. So I'd be happy to connect you to all these people in Philippines and Nigeria and some of the like Vietnam and some of the Southeast Asia, where these guilds and these groups are really active. And there are like a lot of these places have like Vietnam is like 100 million people. Philippines is, I think, 120 million. These are massive countries. Like Indonesia is like nearly a quarter billion people. So it's these are massive markets in their own right. And you can get millions of users in these markets. So I'd be happy to connect you to some of these people and who specialize in acquisition or any of these things. But that's fine. We can have a conversation about that later privately. But yeah, so just thinking about Coin Fantasy and about future of trading and all this, what's your vision for Coin Fantasy, or where would you like it to see it go?
Yeah, no, I think right now, if you look at the where we position ourselves, there are exchanges where like you want real money rewards or real money, but very complex. And there are platforms like paper trading platforms like Investor or Stargro, where, you know, you they are gamified, but you don't win kind of real money rewards. But we see a niche market where, you know, you kind of in real money. $1 billion market, that's in the main thing, right? And we call this as the invest gaming market. But because, like, you know, you are two investments through a game. So it's kind of a niche market that we believe that's going to expand. So that's why we are very confident of it. And in terms of the next step, where I say phase one, we've built a community. Phase two is more of enabling the real reward so they can layer on the top. And third is the system that we want to build. So it's about not just Coin Fantasy creating game or kind of promoting. Now it's about other platforms that also use Coin Fantasy, right? Because we also have a category of game creator. And like you said, it's going to be a DAO where the user platform can say, for example, say this platform like Chili's, they can run a tournament for their community and they can win.
Oh, it's Chili. Oh, yeah, I know those guys as well. I was planning to connect you to them as well.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yeah, I think it makes sense for them, right? Think about it. They have the fantasy sport, in a way, a platform from crypto. Like, it could be Chili's or it could be even Dream. They want to enter kind of crypto, like they can run a tournament on fantasy finance, right? So, in a way, we want to build that ecosystem on board at least like 100-plus partners who are game creators with customized rules, customized like quest-based games, or it could be like similar games that we have, but been customized rewards as well. could be day token as rewards or even coin token as work. So that's basically more like the ecosystem building. And we have also allocated a certain percentage of tokens when she launched just to be focused on the ecosystem. Because I think that's where it goes from $1 million company to $1 billion company. Because now you have that network spreading and tapping across different platforms. Yeah.
So that sounds very true. I have a question which is slightly different, slightly offbeat, and that is, what is your number one contrarian view when it comes to crypto from all the other people in crypto or blockchain?
Well, that's a great question. No, I see, maybe it could be my personal opinion, but I think the word decentralized being misused a lot of times. I see in crypto, there's a lot of platforms that call themselves decentralized, but still controlled by a group of people who can dictate any proposal and get it approved and get it implemented. You know.
So that's always, yeah. It's never decentralized. It doesn't matter. It's like what? Even proof of work, it's controlled by few miners, a few big miners control. Even proof of stake, it's 5 exchanges control 60-70% of major token, coin, whatever you call it. So major network. So it's always like that. And even if it's voting, it's one-to-one voting. And then there's 10 people who own 80% of the staking. It's the initial team and the VCs who control the majority of the voting pool. So it's just theater. It's drama. It's like what it was, national theater. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not real.
Yeah, I know. I think that's where I think modern Web3, Web 2.5 could be the way forward to onward the mass of people. So for example, if you forget your password and your wallet is locked forever, and then that's big for any guy who comes into crypto. Like, that'll be a big challenge. So
yeah,
those are some problems. I think recently is the way forward, but maybe there is Web 2.5 in between, post which there is going to be like pure decentralization. I think that probably it'll be difficult for people to maybe go back and have that centralized work. Some kind of centralized, like a mix of both, I'd say, that makes sense for the masses, for the retail people.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your views. I 100% agree with them, and that we do need to solve that problem, because decentralization doesn't have customer service. And you need customer service. People need customer service. And that's why Web 2.5 makes more sense at this stage. In future, we might solve that problem. Like automated systems might solve that problem. But for now, we don't have solution for that. Having said that, do you have a ask, whether you're looking to hire, whether you're looking to raise, whatever it is, feel free to share with the community listening.
Perfect. So I think first thing is I would request everybody to try out the game and be happy to hear your feedback. You guys can even contact us, probably post us a comment on Twitter or even email us at info@coinfantasy.io, and we'd be happy to hear your feedback, because I think in this journey what I've learned is it's constantly, I think critics are the people who can get you forward, right?
Yes.
So I think And we can't believe in that. So I think that's the first ask, I think. Second is probably, we're also kind of, I think we had hosted different tournaments before. We'll be soon in another tournament as well. We had done something like Chain Wars that was around the time of IPL. Also required the participation, support from the community. And also we are looking for ambassadors for our platform, who could be from different demographics, who could spread the word, vouch for Coin Fantasy and the specific demographic. I think that's also important since we are trying to our country. And fourth, I think we are also closing the fundraise. So if any VCs or anybody interested or fit in their investment thesis, would be happy to connect and explore. And not just VCs, also partners. Any other partner platforms who would like to partner with Coin Fantasy, go contact us through Sam or probably even directly contact us on Twitter.
Definitely. And I'll connect you to some influencers and other people in media and all that stuff as well. Just
Awesome.
remind me because I'm quite
Perfect.
busy and often forget. But yeah, so look, that all sounds good. I did check out your Twitter while we were talking, and you have Orcon Fantasy has 30,000 followers and all that. What has worked for Twitter to grow the followership?
I think one thing about Twitter, I feel, is being in the trend. Like
Yes.
today, like probably Elon Musk would be in a trend. You need to hop onto it.
Yeah.
There's like a kind of fallout. Come, I think being relevant and being on the trend is very critical. I think, especially with the growth of Twitter, and that's
Yes.
what we realized over time. You know, kind of. So that's why I told all my friends and creators, everybody to be very active on Twitter. That's not about churning out content. More about content that are very relevant for people, trending, creating viral content. Also
Yeah.
being a little bit of creative mode. I think posts that are interactive are get better than posts that are very informative, right? So I think it's good to have a mix of both. And yeah, I think these are some of the points that
Yeah,
yeah.
sure. So do you feel like Twitter has slowed down a bit in the last 6 months, the engagement on Twitter?
I feel like one thing I feel like the I feel is still I think Elon Musk not solved the bot problem. Still there
Yes.
are bots, I think, you know, that
Oh, lots of
feel
bots,
like
especially in our industry. If you are
yeah.
anything to do with coins or crypto or Web3, anything like that, there's a lot of bots in that space.
Yep. I think I feel Twitter a little bit I think will slow down. Because right now it's in probably in the path of transition. So I think people are losing the purpose of Twitter now. When people come to Twitter, since it's in the phase of transition, people are not understanding the purpose of Twitter right now, because maybe it's
Yes.
moving to X, it could be the platform that connects everything. But before, when people come to Twitter, it is where you come, you tweet it, and you
Yes.
get replies. Probably you just come and you go. But now, like, you could do this in Instagram as well. Now you can do it on other platforms. So I think maybe little bit it has slowed down due to the transition or due to some kind of change in leadership as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was even looking at your tweets, and it seemed like you were getting a lot less response now than you were getting earlier. Would that be right?
I think our responses are mostly also event driven. So when if you look at like one of the things ago, we had hosted the thing was tournament. There was a big hype and a lot of people are locked in for the tournament. So it's more event driven, and we see over the weekend we see more kind of engagement than weekdays as well. So
Oh,
it makes
very
sense
interesting.
probably. Yeah,
Very,
yeah.
very interesting. What about how does Instagram compare? Are you still seeing the same return result in Instagram now compared to 6 months or a year ago, or less or more or same?
Yeah, I think Instagram has been pretty standard for us. On Instagram, we are trying to. I think in Instagram, the tags and keywords play a big role. Especially,
Yes.
you know, what we realized, maybe using one name of a celebrity combined with the content that we build has gained us more traction than any other quote. So it's
Yeah.
a different feedback, but the same for us, at least. Maybe it could be different for others.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's very true. Do you guys have anything else that you do that has worked really well for customer acquisition?
Yeah, I think mostly it's the marketing. Apart from that, I think another channel is like influencer marketing. In Web3, I think that's a big channel
Which
that
one?
can influencer marketing.
Oh, yes, absolutely right. Yes.
Getting the right set of influencers, trying the platform and sharing with the community are very,
That's very powerful.
Yeah. So apart from that, we have the organic channel. But definitely, those take time. But these channels are really great, you know.
No, that's fantastic. So look, what I'll do is I'm going to put the links to Coin Fantasy so people can check it out. People can check out your platform. They can play a game, learn more about trading and all those sort of things. So thank you so much for sharing about what growth channels work for you guys, what tactics work, where you see the industry is going, and all those sort of things. Just want to wish you best of luck. And thanks again for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom.
No, thanks, Sam. It was a great conversation. I think great organic, great questions sometimes, I feel like, rather than the standard set of questions. I think it really love it. It's more like a candid conversation, chatting with a friend. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.